The next case is 98-1906 and 98-1966, Patricia Cleaver versus Canton Saxenheim.
Hired the bartender?
Correct. Yeah, the hall and the liquor was sold to a third party, to the wedding participants, the family of the bride, and they hired bartenders to work at it. In this case, Your Honor, only the hall was sold. It's my understanding that the theory of liability is that we helped the liquor permit originally purchase the liquor and then we sold it to the other part.
Is there any evidence that
Collins
had control over the
bartender? No, there's no evidence that
it's actually. It was strictly done through the wedding party.
Correct. And on a broader scale, it is also about defining the desirable adult conduct. In 1990, this court decided to submit versus the 10th Inning. It was a unanimous decision. It was a very strongly worded decision. And it defined adult conduct as aimed at voluntary intoxication. I think here again, we need to redefine that adult conduct. And it's also about assuming the risk of your voluntary actions. An adult has the capability and has the understanding of what alcohol and intoxication can do, what the potential consequences are of becoming voluntarily intoxicated, and then subsequently making the choice to drive. The 5th District decision must be reversed. It's an anomaly. All the other district courts that have looked at this in the state of Ohio, including the 4th, the 6th, the 8th, the 10th, and even another panel of the 5th District, had decided that there was no cause of action, that an adult must take responsibility for their voluntary actions. This is the first one where anybody has decided that we're going to give a free license to the 18, 21-year-old group to become intoxicated. The 5th District decision disregards public policy against intoxication and drunk driving. Does absolutely nothing to deter drunk driving, and actually it may even encourage it. If we're going to remove your responsibility, we're not going to make you, even though you're an adult, even though you're over the age of 18, and even though you have all these other privileges in our society, you're not responsible.
Because the land seems to be a bit of a stretch, if taking any responsibility on those who serve alcoholic beverages, that becomes licensed to you can't stand up if I drink myself. It won't matter because somebody else will pay for it.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what the 5th District has said. I think by saying, no, you are responsible for your actions, even though you're not permitted to drink alcohol, there's no way for you to ever be compensated.
It's a better rule, some middle ground may yet to have been brought out to the Justice Breyer's questions seem to get to what that is.
I think that the primary responsibility in this Echo Smith is the person consuming the alcohol. I think that certainly the person serving the alcohol owes a duty to the general public, to the innocent people out there that are unsuspecting, that are unaware of what's going on. You don't know when that drunk driver's coming down the road at you. And yes, I do think that at that point, and I think that the statute speaks to protecting those innocent people. But I think primary responsibility lies with the person who's becoming intoxicated. If you're an adult, you know what it's going to do.
That's true, but at some point, the person becoming intoxicated's judgment begins to become impaired. The person serving up his presence is accomplishing that. Has some responsibility to
it. I guess, Your Honor, I feel that duty is owed to the innocent people. I think that, and I think the statute.
So you can just, in terms of the customer, serve them drinks until they fall down and die.
Well, I'm not saying that, maybe in all cases, but I think if they go out and injure themselves, certainly that's something that you assume the risk of doing when you continue to drink alcohol. I think the ordinary, prudent, intelligent adult knows that continually consuming alcohol, I know if I walk out of here and I have 3 or 4 beers, that's going to affect me. I know that before I start drinking.
But the prudent bartender does not serve a person who is obviously intoxicated in his bar either.
True.
Doesn't he have an obligation to cease and desist if not only after he was told the kid was only 18 or 19, but doesn't he have any obligation at all that in his observing of this person that he was intoxicated? You mean he has no obligation to stop serving alcohol to that person?
As the case law and what I've seen in the current statutory scheme is that duty is not owed to that individual person. That duty is owed to the innocent third parties, the people that are unsuspecting, the people that are unaware. And if this person continues to drink, he's assuming that risk, and public policy should say, look, if you're going to assume this risk, it's your risk alone. It's you that is assuming this risk, and we're not going to enforced.
I always thought it was the obligation of the owner of the bar to not serve intoxicated people. I always thought that was common sense.
Doesn't the statute say that?
Isn't there a statute someplace that says that's incumbent upon the bar owner to cease and desist when a person is obviously unable to continue drinking at a reasonable rate?
Your Honor, I believe that statute is 4399.18. It's an action against the liquor permit order for sale of alcohol and intoxication.
Right. But your colloquy here with Justice Pfeiffer, it appeared to me that, the bartender has no obligation whatsoever to do anything. He can keep doing whatever he wants. Is that your understanding?
My understanding of how this statute has been interpreted by the courts is that this statute speaks about the bartender or bar owner's liability and duty to clear his parts, not to that person sitting on the other side of the bar drinking continuously. Now, I don't know if that should be addressed by the legislature, but as this statute reads, they make a difference. They say a person has, and the executive administrator of the estate, a person who suffers injury, death, or loss as a result or action of actions or omissions of an intoxicated person. They're using distinguishing terms. They're not using the same term, saying that if this person gets drunk, then I go out, if I go into a bar, I drink until I'm obviously drunk, keep on drinking, I go out, take my car, and run it into a utility pole, I don't stop, but I get injured. I suffer some severe broken bones, my car's messed, now I get to sue you.
So what you're saying is if he got in the car with two other people and he killed everybody in the car, he can't collect, but the other two people can.
Right.
Against the bartender.
Because there is a bartender.
Against the bartender.
The case of Walker versus Capri is a perfect example of what Justice Sweeney is talking about. In that case, the intoxicated person, I understand, had about 30 drinks and passed out and died, and was held that he did not have a cause of action against the liquor permit, the holder.
Yes, that is correct.
And I understand from that case also there are numerous other appellate districts that have held that. And I, like Justice Sweeney, thought that a permit holder could not serve an intoxicated person.
And they can't, without running risk.
Where is that in the law that they...
Well, I think the law draws a distinction, and that's where I'm at here. With, the law says bartender, you cannot serve an intoxicated person without running the risk of them driving and injuring the third party.
But they have no liability to the intoxicated person.
Right, because public policy says the intoxication begins with the person sitting in the car.
That's Smith versus 10th inning. Isn't the only issue here, unless you want to change the holding Smith, is whether we're going to apply the rationale of Smith to a person who's 19 years old. Isn't that that's the issue that
right.
Case is
yeah.
on. So all the policy arguments, I guess, we've already taken care of in Smith, unless we want to change holding there. But so the question is, why should a 19-year-old, why should there be an exception to the holding in Smith for a 19-year-old person?
Appellees
argue that there's a protected category of persons because you're not, it's not allowed to serve to persons that are 21 years old.
If that's the issue and these other matters is the issue, then I guess I've missed it. I don't know why. You represent a landholder who did nothing but lease a place for somebody to go have a wedding party.
We have the original liquor permit.
Yeah, I understand that. It comes with the building. But isn't the serving an intervening cause between your ownership of the property, and because that's who the defendant is, isn't it? The hall?
Yes.
And you never even argue any of that you're so far removed from this. That means an owner of a hall that leases it to a wedding party has to go there and make sure that nobody drinks too much. Yeah, that's what it means.
Liquor permit.
Sure it does.
It was originally brought, the motion just says originally was focused on the age,
Did you ever argue that you were remotely removed? You were so remote from this action that you were not, you couldn't be the proximate cause of the injury?
We did not get the motion for summary judgment, Your Honor. We submitted the motion to dismiss on the case because there was no cause of action because of the Smith decision and then the Fifth District decision coming out of Muskingum County that addressed this issue of a 19-year-old bringing a lawsuit against the permit holder, and the case was dismissed on those grounds.
But you didn't answer Justice Douglas' question. Did you did not argue that Sachsenheim should not be liable because it did not employ the bartender? That in your motion dismissed, you know.
That was not argued in the motion dismissed.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burke.
Why?
Ms. Burke.
To me, the issue you missed a good argument. It is not a question. Well, that's part of it, and all we do is own the building.
We have not had any deposition or interrogatories or any discovery regarding the bartender or security. We filed our complaint and they filed a motion to dismiss based on the statutes and age. So none of that discovery was ever completed. So based on that issue alone, I think the court is very important that you look at what the law of Ohio is. You have three groups. You have under 18, you have 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, and then you have anyone over 21. And the Smith case, if you read it, and from looking, I think, at Remaster, I assume that the person in Smith was over age 21 because of the statute that they brought that action under. They didn't bring it under the under 21 or serving the underage person. They brought it under the intoxicating person part of the statute. So, therefore, to me, Smith would apply and is correctly held for anyone over age 21, there may not be responsibility. However, they're legitimately being able to purchase alcohol. The statutes in Ohio that came out of the 1982 federal law say that you, as an establishment, are not allowed to serve anyone under age 21. You are not allowed to serve an underage person alcohol, beer. In this particular case, that is exactly what is done.
But finish your sentence.
What you're telling a bartender or an establishment is you can violate the law. You can violate what the law says and have no consequence for someone who is underage.
Well, we've said you can violate the law with an adult, Smith. If the person's intoxicated, the bartender can continue to serve under Smith, and it's an adult takes responsibility for harm to himself, not to a third party. That's the disincentive, it seems to me, for serving a person who's obviously drunk, is that they might kill somebody else, and then you're liable. But if a 19-year-old is liable for, say, driving while intoxicated, like anyone else is, like an adult is, and I think that's correct in municipal court. Where's this protected, the special protection that's given a 19-year-old? It seems to me they're treated like anybody else is if they're caught drinking while they're driving.
I guess I'm not asking for a special protection. I'm asking for look at what the law already established. When the law came in 1982, they ran a study, the federal court, which he cited in his brief, that says people who drink that are in that age group, 18, 19, to 24, one, aren't as experienced, don't use good judgment, and go out and actually are in the highest category of killing people.
Counsel, This is the hardest case, you know, the case where you have a young person killed, and that, you know, could maybe sort of skew the thinking. But if your proposition, if we hold true to a proposition that even though the court has said adults, no recovery, if we think, well, these young people, the liability would be for everything, property damage. Now I'm thinking kids, anybody, young people who would be in this class that we would separate out, what about the fender bender? You know, the 19-year-old who has a fake ID and does get away with getting loaded and hits a phone pole, but he damages mom and dad's car. Permit holder, responsible.
If he had a fake ID, then
well, let's assume it's the definitely wrongful serving, you know, unlawful serving of this young person.
Well, I would argue that it's the minimum I would ask the court to consider at least letting them go to trial on this issue.
Well, no, you don't need to go to trial unless there's some liability.
Right, and my argument would be that they served an underage drinker. Now, the question would be at trial then, would they present evidence that he had a fake ID?
No. Well, let's say they're liable. If the law is, we don't even need to worry about that. Public policy issue here is what the 10th inning was that we don't want to insulate people. And the first drink is unlawful for this kid. He's not drunk when he takes the first drink, right? He knows he's breaking the law. You know, we putting aside what we all know about young people and the statistics, you know, but the public policy is taking that first drink, should that activity be insulated by the payment for the wrecked fender, or the windshield, or the stitches?
Well, I believe under the law, it should be, because the law says you should not serve any underage 21 any alcohol.
Yeah, and then the law balances as between who should pay, the person who took the unlawful drink, or two or three or four, or the establishment that served it. And in the 10th inning, we balanced that in favor of the innocent third parties, you know, which did take the permit holder out of it, but...
But in 10th inning, you actually had an adult who was age 21 or okay. Over who was legitimately purchasing alcohol beverages. And my point being, they could have put, when they did the federal 1982 statute, they could have said, let's make the age across the country 19. But they didn't do that. They thought the age needed to be 21 specifically because they thought minor children, people who did not have a good judgment, were driving across borders, drinking in lower age areas, and then coming across and killing people. And he states in his brief, they called it blood borders. And you have a duty, in my opinion, for public policy is to protect public people from this exact type of action. If you allow bars to serve people who are under 21, and those people then go out here and kill, you're right, the first party has a action. But you're also saying to the bars, it's okay to violate the law and serve people who you know.
But the Chief Justice makes the point that you're not encouraging anything for bar owners, permit holders, because the same impediment, the same liability that prevents them, the third party liability, that's prevents them from serving those drinks. That's still out there to concern them about breaking the law.
But obviously it doesn't concern them enough because they changed the law to make it age 21. First and second, this in the exact case happened. The people complained to the bartender and security that this person is drunk, he's weaving, he's stuttering, he's having, and that they tried to take their keys.
The risk to the permit holder is still there. Not for the liability to this particular young person, but to anybody he may hurt, anybody else he may hurt.
So when he killed himself, you're saying to the bar person, okay, it's all right that you just follow the law and you serve someone. Who is it easier to check? Because the bartender would have checked IDs when the first people complained to him that this is an underage drinker and that this person has had enough.
We're not saying it's all right. The liquor permit holder can lose their permit, certainly. I would think the bartender can be...
It's not just a defendant here.
Can be,
huh?
There must be a criminal statute for that. I don't think we're saying it's all right. What's happening is we're shifting responsibility for one taking his own life versus taking the life of someone else. If you drink, if you, 19-year-old certainly knows when he, I mean, they know when they're drunk. They know when they've had too much drink. Most of it, I don't think. So we're saying if you kill yourself, we're not going to hold the liquor permit holder responsible. This case is a difficult case because the facts are all in your favor. I mean, he was told, the partner was told, don't keep serving him, and he did. But unless we have comparative negligence in these sorts of cases, it seems to me to shift to say the bartender is 100% responsibility for the volition of the 19-year-old who drinks and kills himself is a little, I don't know, it seems that's a long place to put the responsibility, it's 100% of it.
I don't disagree that the way the law currently stood, we lose the entire right to bring an action just based on our pleading. We never even get to go to discovery, we never get to go to comparative negligence. And you're right, if this case goes to trial, I'm sure we'll be the one arguing, and it could rightly so, well, this person knew what he was doing, and he drank, and he didn't exist, and let the jury make a comparative negligence argument. But when you don't even get there, my point being is we should at least be allowed to get there. And second, the law says 21, it says underage, it addresses those issues. And therefore, even in one of the cases that you talked about, you indicate that the goal of this is to protect the citizens of the veteran from his or her own conduct and to protect the public from such conduct. So it does have great public policy. That's what comes from Grossman, which is a case that was cited in our brief. And you talk about the impact that letting people drink and drive. I believe, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're basing your argument on the fact that there are discrimination based on 21, and that is the difference between
correct.
And if I follow this with Cook's line of questioning, you would want us to find, like, as a matter of public policy, the bar owner who serves someone under the age of 21 is liable for all actions of that person.
No.
Whether it's their own debt, somebody else's debt, property damage, whatever, that bar owner becomes liable for all of their actions because they serve.
That's for different cases. Those are different cases. They are responsible if they're right.
Right.
And they go in and off
continued to sell appellant intoxicating beverages after they knew or should have known appellant was intoxicated,
right.
Violated the law.
Right.
So we've already jumped that hurdle. We're already over that hurdle, and we've said it doesn't matter that the bartender violated the law with respect to somebody over 21. Now, why does it matter that the bartender violated the law with respect to somebody between 18 and 21? That's where you have to, at least have to convince me that there should be a difference, I guess.
Well, because, again, you're talking about an adult who was legally able to buy. Now you're talking about, again, a factual circumstance of whether or not the bar knew that person was intoxicated and whether or not their responsibility of serving him caused his death or his accident or whether he had that responsibility. I guess when you look at what the legislature can do, age for contract. At some point, public policy may come into play that says, no, that's not the correct age. We're having all these different problems, so we should increase that age to 21. Now, if the legislature increases that age, just this year, they took it from 19 for drinking to 21, then, to me, they have spoken, and they have set the parameters, and anything under that parameter is not a subclass. What's the difference between a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old under that statute? There isn't any difference. But the court has made an exception for 17-year-olds. And why? Because for some reason, they said a 17-year-old can't drink and can't use the mentality to do that. That's what they came up with. But why? Because I feel that's wrong. I feel that there is no distinction between a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old under the law. And that they, if to correctly apply this law, this court should say there is a responsibility under that age, and that responsibility applies to bar owners and people who serve underage minors, underage drinkers. And then let us go to court and have comparative negligence brought up. That, to me, let us have our rights, let them have their rights under what the current law is.
If you can be referred to the fact, what should there be liability? Do you agree that the wedding party parents are quite
insane? I don't know that, because we've never got to discovery. They need to follow those on the scene. So I don't know.
And this is for the sake of argument that the wedding party did hire the party. That passes now. What should be your liability reach the call?
Well, I have to look at the contract between the wedding party, obviously, and the spectrum. See who is responsible.
Thank you. Mr. Richardson, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Chief Justice Moore, I agree with the items you pointed out regarding that it doesn't remove all of the liability of a permit holder. It just focuses the primary responsibility upon the person making the voluntary choices. A permit holder still faces the criminal sanctions, loss of license, and what have you. It's just a policy saying we're holding the person that's making these voluntary choices as an adult. That's the difference, not 17, not a minor, has the adult capabilities that the law gives an adult. As an adult makes these choices between the ages of 18 and 21, they should face
liability. I suppose that one distinction that I haven't heard, at least, is that is that with the adult, in Smith, for example, the adult at least was entitled to purchase the drinks. Here, the 19-year-old was not entitled to have the alcohol, and so the bartender is assuming, taking out of the question who's really liable here, seems to me the bartender is the one that's really at fault, not the permit holder, but anyway, the bartender is really aiding the 19-year-old in breaking the law, whereas in Smith, bartender was breaking law himself, but not aiding the consumer of the alcohol. Now, that's a distinction. I'm not sure if it has any import, but that there is a difference there.
I don't know if it does have an import on the case, Matt. I think that it's still an adult making a voluntary decision. Even, you know, we made that as law, saying you read the 18th, the age of majority. You have cognitive abilities to make certain choices, and your knowledge of what alcohol does and the devastating effects should prevent you from recovering in these situations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.